Broadcasting from the WEEM studios, underwritten by Community Hospital Anderson, this is the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM Pendleton.
She wants to be successful and do great things for this program.
And then the ultimate goal is to get that win.
Went through the battles together, and they stuck together.
Those coaches over there are doing a fantastic job.
This is the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside my co-host Lucas Williams. Lucas, how you doing today?
Doing pretty good. You know, it was my senior skip day, but coming in here, now we're going to talk a little bit about some Arabian athletics.
Yeah, I'm glad you came in, okay? We got to record the coaches show, okay? Can't leave all these guys hanging.
This is bigger than skipping a day.
Exactly. All right, we're going to start off with the baseball team, of course, this week. They had a few matchups. The first to mention was the Mount Vernon game. So Tuesday, they play Mount Vernon at Mount Vernon, and they lose their first game of the season 7-5. And that's a tough game. I talked to Coach Vosper after the second Mount Vernon game, and he said, you know, I kind of thought we would have won that first one with normal conditions. It was a horrible game. Weather was messed up, and the Arabian team couldn't get going.
Yeah, of course, no one broadcasted that first game, but, you know, me and you, and, you know, so we did the second game, and it was definitely a great game. Like, we saw all around great performances from the Arabians, and it really just showed that, you know, that first one was a fluke game.
Yeah, it was entirely a fluke game. I mean, they won the second the next day, 9-3, and that kind of shut down all doubt. I mean, you lose against a conference team that's kicked your butt years on end, and you get that win right over them the next day. That's big, especially rolling into the county tournament final against LaPel. LaPel, the number two team in 2A as of before that game on 5-2, and that one went the distance. Seven innings were tied 4-4, went to 9 innings all the way through. I broadcast that with Jeffrey Kirkendall, and it was a heartbreaking game.
Man, I just got to listen to the very end of it, and I was trying to look up, like, I was busy the entire day, so I just now got able to sit down, like, Friday night, and it was like 9:30 or something. It was a late game, and looked on Max Preps, didn't say that was live. Looked on Arabian Athletics, saw that they were in the ninth inning. I joined, and I heard bases loaded, and it was Colin Axel Adams up to bat. And I was like, man, if he could get something right here, this would be huge.
Yeah, but so similar story, actually, in the third inning. The third inning, they're down 1-0. Colin Axel Adams gets to the plate, bases are loaded. Kai Newman, the pitcher, hit 2, walked 1. So the Arabians hadn't earned anything. They got a free full slate of, you know, 3 on base, and then Colin Axel Adams gets up there, slams one to the wall, 3 score. It's the biggest triple. I said it in the highlight, biggest triple of the season. And you know, you just can't, thunder doesn't strike twice, and you know, that's nothing on Colin Axel Adams, but, you know, tough game.
Yeah, it's just a really rough one. I mean, those two losses, I mean, that first one against Mount Vernon, I mean, that you can really pinpoint it, you know, to different things. But that LaPel game, I mean, they really battled through, and against a team that is now 15-1. I mean, this baseball team is amazing, and they only, you know, start to fall apart once they face against the best competition.
Yeah, the only thing there that's pretty tough is that's a 2A school, but other than that, I mean, there's a reason it went 9 innings. This thing was close. They had a really good pitcher in Kai Newman, and it really felt for the Arabians. A little salt in the wound there. I mean, 11-2 is your record, which is an extremely good record, but you fall in the last ever county championship to a 2A LaPel team. That's tough. You know what's kind of ironic there? You know, from my knowledge, they got rid of the county tournament because these 2A, 1A schools are tired of getting beat up on by 4A.
Yeah, and then LaPel, they come in, don't prove their point, I guess.
Well, yeah. Hypocrites, really. some highlight stats from that one. Brent Gray had 2 hits, 1 RBI. I believe he was our player of the game. Colin Axel Adams, of course, I mentioned, had that big triple on the pitching side of things, of course. Braden Stevenson was the main pitcher, and he pitched about 4.5 innings. Colin Axel Adams came in looking to close it. He also pitched 4.5 innings. So tough night for the Arabians. We're going to move on to softball. Of course, softball having a tough year so far. They sit at a record of 8-10 this week so far. They had four matchups. Of course, the first one being Frankton. They won that one 5-3. After that, Kokomo 18-5. Then they went out, traveled to Noblesville, lost that one 7-5. And then finally, Hamilton Southeastern lost that one 5-0. So they play a lot of games. Coach Davis has said the second half of their schedule is definitely the more tough half. And, you know, they're faring okay. They're 8-10. You like to see that a little better. But, you know, they're trying their best out there.
Yeah, I mean, you've seen that big win against Kokomo. But other than that, they can't really win against, you know, some of those tougher opponents. And yeah, they can kind of battle through, and but they just can't get, you know, a really satisfying win under their belt. And also, with a lot of these games are going to be away for the rest of the season, there's only two more home games for the season.
Yeah, they've got a tough schedule ahead of them. A lot of conference games. I see Yorktown, Newcastle, Mount Vernon, Greenfield Central. It's going to be tough. We're going to move on to talk about sectionals, okay? Sectionals, still about a month or so away, but they were drawn recently this past weekend, so we'll see who the two teams have. So game one, Mount Vernon, Richmond. Probably Mount Vernon coming on top, looking at the odds there. Greenfield Central, Muncie Central. Probably Greenfield Central, per usual. And then Pendleton Heights and Anderson get the bye. They're going to play in round two. So Pendleton Heights for softball. For baseball. Kind of flipped things there. Baseball is going to take on Anderson. In the county tournament. I am backwards today. In the sectionals, round two, the winner will advance to the championship round. Pendleton Heights has one game so far over Anderson. We did that game, Lucas. We mentioned, and we kind of got spoiled that game. Multiple home runs. It was a big night for the Arabians, but Anderson doesn't go down without a fight. That's going to be a brawl, you know, season on the line.
Yeah, you know, Anderson, they're 8-7 so far for the season, and they've got some pretty nice wins under their belt. So, you know, it's definitely going to be a competition between these two. And, I mean, Pendleton, they were just able to win against them 13-9 earlier in the Nick Muller County Tournament. But, I mean, still, it's going to be a good matchup. But, you know, to get to that sectional championship, that is really, you know, that next step that, you know, that baseball team's looking at.
Now we'll talk about softball, of course. Kind of unusual. Both Pendleton Heights teams got the bye. I don't know the last time that's happened. That's got to be some sort of scoregami, but bye-agami. You know what I mean? That's wild.
Since 1977.
Yeah.
That was last time.
That is not a true stat, by the way. Lucas made that up. So Pendleton Heights due to take on the winner of Mount Vernon Greenfield Central for softball sectionals. That's going to be a tough one. Haven't faced either of those teams. They're set to in the next 2 weeks. I keep an eye on those matchups in the next 2 weeks. Who comes out on top? Of course, they're going to be the leading favorite in the next one. Of course, the Lady Arabian softball team has had nicer days. They sit at 8-10, fifth in the conference, looking for a big win over either of those two teams, and especially with Mount Vernon, Greenfield Central, and New Pal. Those big three, you know, two of those away games, one of them at home versus New Pal, those are going to be tough, and they got to really grind those out. All right, well, that'll do it for the opening. Stay tuned. We got a lot of great more content coming up. So stay tuned. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Financial Enhancement Group, Retirement Planning, Risk Management, and Legacy Planning. Located on Enterprise Drive in Anderson, their phone number is 800-928-4001 or online talk to feg@yourlifeafterwork.com.
Support for 91.7 WEEM comes from our donors and underwriters and from Bendel Lawn Equipment. Sales, servicing, and delivery located at 3841 North State Road 9 in Anderson. Their phone number is 765-642-0657 or online at BendelLawnEquip.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM. Welcome here to this segment of the ASN Coaches Show. My name is Michael Hooker, and I'm joined here with the head coach of the varsity baseball team, Coach Vosburgh. Thank you so much for joining me.
You bet.
So getting things started here, you guys had a pretty busy week last week. You guys had your conference doubleheader against Shelbyville. You won both of those games 5-4 and then 6-4. Walk me through those games. Obviously, it was pretty tough the first game playing against Aiden Smith. Comeback win.
what was kind of the feeling, you know, going up against a D1 level pitcher and pulling out both those games?
Yeah, when you face elite pitching like that, you prepare a little bit differently than you would for a different style of a matchup. We got the machine out. We got our special baseballs that kind of allow for high ride and high velo training. Got those out, and we started to time up the machine at a higher velo level, just as a preparation. You always try to practice harder than the game experience is going to, you know, give you. And so we felt prepared going into it, and we knew that if we just played solid defense behind and did, you know, played the game the rest of our strengths, that we would have a good shot of pulling that out. We put good swings on Aiden Smith all game. You know, he only had 4 strikeouts against us in those 5 or 6 innings that he pitched that game. We forced him out in that 6th inning after we barreled a few balls. So, you know, he changed the style of pitching, you know, based on the results that he was seeing from our hitters. So we felt really good about just the approach that our guys had against him. We've faced, you know, high velo guys before, and we feel like the prep work that we put into training for high velo guys has paid off for us over time. We almost feel more comfortable to some degree, you know, knowing what you're going to get. The pitchers that you typically see our guys kind of struggle with are just really good pitchers who command multiple pitches on the inside outside part of the plate. You know, an Aiden Smith type of guy who has all the tools that's going to allow him to be successful at the next level and beyond, you know what he's going to go to in pressure moments, and that's his fastball, right? And so we feel like we know that it's coming, and so we feel like we're better prepared as hitters to attack when you have a high expectation of what's going to come your way. The guys that really mix and match their pitches really well are just good pitchers. They tend to see a little bit more high school success. So, you know, preparing against him was fairly straightforward compared to, you know, just based on what we've done with other velo guys in the past. Game 2 was a little bit different. Obviously, well, we had that walk-off, obviously, and that was, you know, a nice moment, but we were able to score 5 runs in the last 2 innings, forced him out, and then took care of business against the guy they brought in after him. Did some nice things at the plate to create that win. And then we kind of carried that momentum into the game 2 at Shelbyville, where we scored 6 in the first 2 innings. I would have liked to have seen a little bit more offensive production from innings 3 to 7 to keep that game from being as close as it was there towards the end. I mean, ultimately, they had the tying run, the go-ahead run at the plate in the bottom of the 7th. But we had Jacob and Colin Axel Adams combined to get us out of there with a win and made some key pitches and key moments. The interesting thing about that game, and it's something I can't remember ever happening before, was that we did not strike out a single one of the Shelbyville hitters in game 2. So we made 21 outs in the field, which is very rare for a high school team. And it's a credit to Shelbyville for putting the ball in play, but it's also a credit to our guys for making plays behind our pitching. You know, Jacob Garner's a pitch to contact type of guy, does not get hit hard. And so, but we know that he's going to put the ball, people against him will put the ball in play. But typically you see a high school team, you know, strike out once or twice in a game at minimum. I honestly cannot remember a game in which a team went 21 outs without seeing a single strikeout. So kind of a unique thing with that game. So,
yeah. And then obviously that led into you guys dominating Lawrence North. Obviously weird kind of situation, had a bit of a 3-minute rain delay in between, just a random pop-up shower hit. But you guys ended up winning that game 11-1. You guys pretty much dominated across the board in that game. There were still some down moments. What was really your take on the difference from Shelbyville to Lawrence North?
Yeah, again, it was a little bit of a slower start for us. We had a couple of weird things happen to begin that game. We had a runner, you know, ball hit and play, got hit the runner. We would have scored a run on that. So we could have been up, you know, 2 or 3-0 in that first inning if we had just avoided that ball and play, which was a little bit unfortunate. Sometimes you can't control those types of things. But yeah, no, we came out with LN. There was kind of a back and forth all day as to whether or not that game would be played, you know, to some degree, or where it would be played. You know, LN is blessed to have a turf field. And so at the very least, we felt that we would be able to play either there, you know, or you know, the field would be good enough to host it here. And so when I had a chance to get out and assess the field, we made the decision to go ahead and play it here. And we feel like sometimes if you have a turf team come into your place and is used to playing on turf, going back to a natural field can sometimes be to your advantage. So I wanted to do everything we could to make sure that we played here at Bill Stout Field. So we made that happen, and the field played really well. you know, we got ourselves going. B was a little bit wild to start the game, but once he really settled in, he went back to his dominant self. He made it through six innings, which for him is a great start. You know, he's kind of a high pitch count type of a guy. Doesn't get hit a lot when he's over the plate. He only got two hits over those six innings. So he pitched really, really well. Really proud of B for being able to contribute to the team in so many different ways. You know, being behind the plate, getting some good at bats here and there, and then being a force on the mound as well. So he's just a guy that we can do a lot with. And so, you know, we really value his presence behind the plate during conference games. And so then on the off-conference games, the non-conference games, we can usually get his, you can benefit the team by jumping out there on the mound and doing his thing. So, but yeah, that was a great, good win. We made some adjustments offensively middle about that game, started to attack the fastball more and, you know, put up a good run total that ended that game.
Yeah, and then obviously this past week, Jordan Williamson had a pretty good week hitting-wise. Obviously last year was an above 400 kind of guy. Comes into this year, has struggled a little bit in some weeks, but this week really stepped it up. Now going into this week, you guys have the Madison County Tournament this Friday against LaPel. What's kind of the feeling from Jordan on how he performed last week and carrying it into this week?
Well, I think it was only a matter of time before the balls that Jordan was hitting were going to start falling. You know, he kind of had, I wouldn't even say he struggled. I would just say he kind of ran into some bad luck, you know, which is going to happen in baseball. There's, you know, you can mishit a ball and it fall in for a base hit and it looks like a base hit in the scorebook, or you can rip a ball right at somebody and it looks like an out in the scorebook. And so I think Jordan was finding himself more on the ladder there for a couple of games where he was really hitting balls hard, just right at people. And so, you know, Jordan's such a good hitter, and that's the reason he's been, and he's done it against the best competition. That's where I don't think a lot of people understand from the outside perspective just how special of a hitter he is. He's gone up against some of the best competition, you know, from the Cam Sullivans, the Parker Rhodes, the Aiden Smiths, the all these guys, and then he's done it against different types of pitching too. You know, he's done it in the three hole, which, you know, typically, you know, guys in that 3-4 hole are going to get pitched to differently only because they're in that 3-4 hole for a reason. And Jordan's been able to take everyone's best punch and give it right back. He's been able to carry a plus 400 batting average for two straight years now in our conference, which is really tough pitching. We play good out of conference competition, and he continues to get it done. So, you know, I don't think he's going to change anything about his approach. I think he's just going to continue to be the elite hitter that he is. It's a lot of fun to watch. So, you know, it's a big week coming up with two conference games with Mount Vernon and then finishing out the week with County. And so we're going to roll our rotation back out there, kind of similar to how we've done up to this point. And, you know, trust that our defense and our hitting will carry us along the way, too.
Yeah, and you mentioned, obviously, Mount Vernon coming up this week, another conference team, another, you know, heavily pitching, like good pitching team.
Yeah.
And you've gotten to that point against your conference opponents to where you're going to be going up against good pitching every time you go up against a conference opponent now. So what's the preparation look like differently from Shelbyville's Aiden Smith to Mount Vernon?
Well, and we're not going to ramp up the machine to, you know, we kind of look at the equivalent of about 102 mile an hour with the pitching machine when we face elite pitching like that. You know, when we face the Cam Sullivans or the Parker Rhodes, anybody's going to be plus 90. We're going to try to push it to about 5 or 6 mile an hour more than what we're going to see. And then basically trust that we'll be able to recognize spin and to make adjustments in two strikes. I mean, if a guy that's throwing 90 plus at a high school level has also a command of a secondary wipeout pitch, he's going to be really tough to beat. Most, however, those guys are going to really rely on their fastballs. And so if we can at least hunt those pitches, we feel like we're good to go. The Bolts of the world, the Sittens of the world that we'll see here in the next couple of days are better just all around high school pitchers. So we need to be able to adjust to what we see and do damage with those adjusted with our adjustments. So we want to hunt fastballs, but we also need to be able to defend an off speed pitch because they're typically better at keeping those pitches in the zone. So, you know, both Bolt and Sitton that we'll see this week for Mount Vernon have good command of off speed. And so a practice today is going to look more like being able to recognize spin out of a coach's hand, adjust to it, fight it off, work to see a different pitch, and then be able to go the other way with anything off speed. We have to maintain a middle approach with these guys. If you try to start pulling off on guys that are, you know, off speed, that see success with their off speed, we will not see success. We probably won't strike out a lot, but we're going to roll over pitches. We're not going to do damage with what we do with balls that are put in play. So it's more about putting good swings on pitchers that know how to command the zone with multiple pitches. We've got to maintain that approach of middle away.
All right. Well, that will do it for this interview. Thank you so much, Coach Rosberg, and good luck the rest of the season.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
We're going to take a short break. When we return, the rest of the Coach's Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
This 91.7 WEEM sports program is supported by SMB Heating and Cooling, located at 6879 South State Road, 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 317-448-2044. Online at sbheatingcooling.com.
This sports program on 91.7 WEEM is made possible through support by Modern Tree Solutions, tree removal, tree pruning, and crane lifting services. Their phone number is 765-374-8698. Online at moderntreesolutions.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you back to another segment of the ASN Coaches Show. I'm Lucas Williams, and joining me is Coach Davis of the Arabian softball team. How are we doing today?
Pretty good, Lucas. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good, and getting straight into it. You know, looking back on last week, faced off against Frankton on the 28th and won 5-3, and you know, they knocked you out in the first round of the Nick Mullen tournament. And you know, was there any sort of extra motivation behind that game?
Well, I think so. You know, I sure hope so. You know, a little bit of revenge game for letting that first one slip away from us. So, I would think so. We came out and we competed hard and played hard and made the plays that we needed to play to make to win the game. And they were pretty excited on the way home.
So in that game, you know, it was kind of harder to start, and it wasn't until the fifth inning that the batters were finding success at the plate, and that's kind of unusual for this team. You know, they like to start earlier, so what challenges did they really face on earlier in that game?
I just think we weren't being very patient at the plate. Once we decided to be patient and let her put the ball in the strike zone instead of just hitting the ball, then we made that adjustment, and I think it paid off for us.
So the following day, you went head-to-head with Kokomo and won big with the final score being 18-5 and found a lot of success with your younger players. And now with it being closer to the end of the season, are there any players that we haven't really seen much that you're looking towards next year?
Well, you know, we're not worried about next year. We're worried about what's going on right now, trying to get ready for the heart of our conference, which, you know, is starting this week on Thursday with Mount Vernon. And then we got three conference games next week. So, you know, we're concentrating on that. And then, you know, with the tournament draw last night, we already know who our opponent is for the sectional. So, you know, we're just gearing up for the end of the season.
Yeah, so you had a day break on Wednesday, but then right back into it on Thursday against Noblesville. And it was a close game, but the final score favored Noblesville 7-5. And Noblesville, they're a very, very good team. And what does it mean to take them, you know, that close to a game?
Well, you know, we played really well that game. I thought we competed at the plate. Avery, Ari, and Aubrey all hit home runs. Aubrey's first home run as a Lady Arabian softball player. So we had three home runs, and to lose, that was a little disappointing. But we stayed in there, and we fought hard and competed the entire game. We fell behind early in the game. They didn't quit. They showed them, you know, the fight in them. And that's what we're going to need here for the final stretch.
So after you played Noblesville, you went up against Hamilton Southeastern, and it was kind of a rough one with the final score being 5-0, and it's kind of hard to get hits off, but it wasn't for Cassie Hayes, as, you know, she went 2-for-3, and, you know, she's been a very good player this year. You know, how can this team kind of learn from here?
Well, Cassie's, you know, been very consistent throughout the year. You know, had her in the 5-6 hole, and then now she's in the three hole and doing very well, being very competitive, putting the ball in play. The she's the only one that got a hit in that Hamilton Southeastern game. We gave her two hits on the day, the only two hits that we got. Struck out 13 times. Sandarski for HSE's going to Virginia Tech. So, you know, it was a challenge for us. But, you know, we started towards the end putting the ball in play, fouling some pitches off and competing. You know, and that's kind of where what we've been, you know, talking about, you know, for the last couple of weeks, just being in there and wanting to be, not letting the moment be too big, and wanting to be in there and wanting to compete. And, you know, It looks like, you know, we are getting better at that. And now we just got to clean up our defense and see what happens.
Yeah, so you played almost every day last week. Now, is there anything that you really focused on during this weekend that you want to change before going to the sectionals?
Rest. The last 2 days, or last 2 weeks, we've played, I think, 11 games in 2 weeks. And that's a lot of ball games, you know, for anybody. So we really haven't had a chance to repair or work on the things that they're giving us some issues. So, you know, prom, you know, that always takes away. So the girls all enjoy themselves, had a nice weekend off. We'll get back today, and we got a couple, you know, we only got two games this week, so we're going to get some practice time in and work on some things that we've been struggling with.
Yeah, so you play tomorrow on the 6th against Connersville, and it's going to be yet again another away game. So especially with this game being a ways away, you kind of keep this team motivated for these games. Also with this being your last 7 of your 9 regular seasons games being away.
To me, it's a scheduling problem we need to address. You know, we had our first 10 games, 9 of them were at home. And then now, like you're saying, the next 7 out of the next 9 are on the road. And we've been on the road for the last 2 weeks, too. We haven't been at home very often, the Kokomo game. So, you know, we're playing the tournament on the road. So that's something that we know we're going to have to deal with. So, you know, getting away from our home field, and that's where the tournament's going to be, I think it's going to help us.
Yeah, well, that is all the time we have today. Thank you for joining me, and good luck against Connersville.
All right, thanks for having us.
Yeah, and when we come back, we have yet again another segment. We're listening to the ASN Coaches Show here on 91.7 WEEM.
Support for the 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Dr. Dana Wright's Dental Studios. Dental care for children and adults in Pendleton at 113 South Heritage Way. Phone number 765-221-5900. Online at drdanawright.com.
This 91.7 WEEM program is supported by RE/MAX Legacy, Nick and Leanne Rogers, located at 6692 South State Road 67 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-617-9420.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
WEEM. We welcome you here to this interview on today's ASN Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside
Colin Axel Adams.
Now, Colin, you are a sophomore, correct?
Yep.
You're a varsity baseball player. So you're a sophomore here. How long have you been playing baseball in total?
I've been playing baseball kind of as always since I was born. I grew up with a bat in my hand since a real young age, and just been playing ever since.
Now, what originally grew you to play baseball? Of course, you mentioned growing up with a bat in your hands is quite the analogy. Did you play any other sports? Why'd you gravitate towards baseball?
Yeah, so from a young age, I also played soccer. And then in middle school, I started playing basketball, actually elementary school. So I played those all the way up through middle school. And then once I got through high school, I decided to step away from both soccer and basketball just to focus on baseball because I was better at that. And my goal is to go to college for baseball. So I just decided to step away from soccer and basketball just to really put all my time into baseball.
Now, last year, I believe you were one of the only freshmen on the varsity team. That is quite the accomplishment. You don't see that very often. Why do you think you made the varsity roster so early?
I'm going to put it towards my hard work. I feel like I really outworked everyone else. And I think that's just the biggest thing that you got to have. You got to have a good work ethic. Obviously, talent can only take you so far. So, you know, I might be talented, but my hard work is really what drove me there.
I think that's really taken an effect this season because you've had a lot of recent success. Of course, in the outfield as you've been as last season, you've seen a lot of success. The reason I asked you to do this interview, because you almost hit a cycle the other day. You've seen a lot of success at the plate. Do you attribute that to your hard work? What's been the recent thing that's been getting you going?
I do. I do attribute that to my hard work. This offseason, I really put a lot of time into my hitting, as well as my outfield, obviously. But this year, almost every single day, I was in the cage during the off season working with like either an instructor or like there was even multiple times a week where I would just go out and hit with one of my friends. And I just, that consistency, just creating a swing that I like and that approach and just mentally being ready.
Is there a spot you want to be on the field? Of course, you play outfield now. You're only a sophomore. You got two more years, including two plus this year. Is there a specific spot in the diamond you want to be at? You play where you're told?
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm happy with where I am. Obviously, wherever I'm going to be is where I want to make the biggest impact for the team. And obviously, me being a lefty kind of limits where I can be on the field. And I've been an outfielder for a lot of years now. And obviously, I like playing right. I can play anywhere in the outfield, but, you know, I just go where I'm told.
Now, this year, you're off to a 10-0 start, I believe, maybe even more than that. Looking the best the team has looked probably ever. What do you attribute that to? You got a lot of seniors this year and you've got a lot of ranked wins. What's next and why?
Yeah, so I attribute it to just our, like we've all played together and we all love playing together. We have a lot of chemistry and, you know, we like playing together and, what's next? We're hoping to win that sectional. We came up short last year after beating a really good pitcher in the first game and then came up short against Greenfield. So we're really hoping to, that's our end goal, and then obviously go beyond.
Now, you mentioned losing that tough sectional game. As only a freshman, what image did that leave in your mind? Because that's not a happy day, of course. That's your last game for your seniors, and then you got a new batch of them this year, and they don't want to see that day anytime soon. What imprint did that leave to not have that happen again?
Yeah, just, you know, obviously no one wants to lose in that spot. And it almost makes you come back with an edge about like you wanting to win that extra game and to keep playing and knowing that if you don't win that game, your season's over and you don't get a play for like the high school for a whole nother year. You kind of just have to sit with that, you know, you did enough to win that one game, but then a couple of days later, you didn't do enough to win the next game to end up going on to the sectional championship.
You got a favorite senior?
I love all of them.
Yeah, any player on the team, too. You mentioned the chemistry. Is this the best chemistry you've seen? Of course, you don't have too many high school years to compare it to. And why do you think that helps you so much?
I do. Last year, we were also really good. We had a lot of chemistry because a lot of the seniors, obviously the juniors last year, had been playing together for a long time. Like, they grew up playing together. I mean, obviously, me as a freshman, I hadn't played with them yet. So, you know, starting off, we weren't like, I wasn't as connected, but I think this year, me being able to play, like already have a year under my belt with them, I think that just that adds a level to the like connectivity that we all have because we've played together as a high school, not just in the travel that they've played together, but we've had success together last year. And I think that we can attribute a lot of these wins to just our connectivity and all that.
Who's the biggest locker room leader? I talk to a lot of juniors at the end of their season and I say, you know, are you prepared to take next year as the senior and be the leader in the locker room if there's not a lot of seniors? For you guys, there's a ton of seniors. Maybe they're all leaders. I'm not sure. I don't know what that locker room looks like. Who is the real leader in that locker room?
Yeah, I think our seniors are all really good. One that stands out is Mason Saxon. He's really, even last year, he was a really good leader, but he just took it to another level this year and he's a great leader in that clubhouse. But I mean, all of our seniors we're all there. We all lead in our own ways.
Yeah, I mean, lucky for you, you are in the younger years of the varsity time. Are you prepared at this point? Of course, you've got big shoes to fill. Of course, this season you guys are hoping to do great things, and hopefully, you know, you can go super deep in the playoffs. Are you mentally there? Of course, again, you have a lot of time, but like, are you ready to be a senior? Have you seen what it takes and how to lead a team?
I do. I think I was born with a lot of like leader attributes. So I think just me personally, I'm a great leader. And when it's my turn to be that guy, I'm ready to step up.
What's your favorite baseball memory? Could be high school. Could be anything before that. Anything come to mind?
Probably last year when we walked off the, I think it was Shelbyville, when we hit that walk off at home, Mason Saxon hit a single, and I don't remember like all of that game, but I think it was that walk off that we hit last year.
I don't know how correct this is, but I haven't looked at the stats in a while, but I think you're tied for second or first all time in saves at Pendleton Heights High School. You're either tied with like six other people for first or second. I can't remember. Why? That's a little surprising for a sophomore to have that. Is there a reason why?
So, last game, I forget who it was, but I actually broke that record. So now I do have the record all time for saves. I don't know why. I mean, last year I came in a lot after Braden pitched, and I think I just picked up a couple of saves there. This year I've kind of like solidified myself as the quote unquote like closer of the team. So in a lot of these close games coming in, I've been that guy who's came in to pitch to pick up the saves. So, I mean, I can't talk for other years about why the other guys don't have as many, but...
Is that nervous for you at all? Of course, I keep mentioning you're a younger guy in the team. You don't have a ton of RC experience. Is that nervous at all? You come into a situation, maybe you're down by a run or maybe you're up by one. You don't want to sell it for your team. That's a tough spot to be in as a closer.
No, I've gotten used to it. So last year, my very first opportunity pitching on the varsity level was down in Tennessee. So I came in with bases loaded. I think it was like the fifth or sixth inning. And first varsity appearance, came in with bases loaded, two outs, and I struck the kid out. I think it was on like three or four pitches to end that inning. And I think ever since that, it's just that showed me that I can compete at this level pitching wise. And it's just giving me that confidence to come in and know that like my stuff is going to get the batter and just give me that confidence.
How much of the baseball team is like sink or swim? I mean, they threw you in the deep end right there and you can either sink and, you know, let up a nice hit and multiple run score, or you can swim and what you did and strike the guy out. How much of the varsity baseball level is really like that?
I think it's kind of both. You have to be able to know that, you know, if you do give up that hit, that you just got to be able to move on to that next play. And, you know, if you do end up giving up a couple runs, you can't automatically just go to that sink mindset. You have to be able to stay there and know that our offense is good enough to get us back to that floating mindset.
Well, that'll about wrap it up. Thanks for joining me, Colin. Of course, one more time, sophomore baseball player at the varsity level. Thanks for joining me. Hope you enjoyed the interview.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Cowan Chiropractic, located at One Plaza Drive, Suite 20 in Pendleton. Their phone number is 765-778-7399. Also online at CowanChiropractic.com.
Back to the ASN Coaches Show on 91.7 WEEM.
We welcome you here to this interview on the Arabian Sports Network. My name is Zion Palmieri, and I'm joined here alongside the Eli Pankel. Great to have you in the studio. How do you feel?
Hey, man. First of all, I want to say you got a nice radio voice, bro. But thank you, Zion, for having me here. It's great to be back in Arabian territory, man. I missed it.
All right. Well, you are back in town, of course. A lot's happened with you recently. So, you know, what's the feeling getting back to your hometown? This is your alma mater, Pendleton Heights. What's the feeling been?
Man, I'm not going to lie. Like, when I came back and then I just, the way that everybody welcomed me here, like all the coaches, all the students, it just made me so, like, it humbled me so much, made me want to get back out there and work. Like, I got to keep going. Like, I've came a long way so far, but I want to go so much further. You know, I just want to inspire everybody as I can.
All right, we're going to go back to the start because I got a lot of questions here for you. So we'll go back to your high school days, of course. You ran track and field and played football. I think from what I know, you were more successful in track and field, and that's what really got you to the collegiate level for football. Why did you ultimately choose football when you had more success in track?
Yeah, football was my first love, like, since I was a kid. And, I had some success with track. You know, I had some great coaching. Coach Coggins was coaching me up hard. Coach Joyce too. They ultimately, you know, led me to getting my accolades in there. But I think football was the best route, you know, getting some scholarships to play at the next level. And, you know, Coach Richmond was a huge part of that.
All right. So moving on from that, of course, you make the jump up to the Division I level. What places did you have to go to? Ultimately, you choose Duke and stick with it there. Why choose Duke?
Yeah, I had a couple places I could have went to. Could have stayed in state. Purdue was a big choice I was looking at. And then I got Tennessee real late. That was like my only SEC, them and Vanderbilt. But yeah, Duke was the move for me. I went on a visit. The people there are what makes Duke. You know, like you meet so many different people. And the connections that you form with them is kind of like, I thought about it as it wasn't a 4-year decision for me. It was more of a 40-year decision. You know, down the road, I wanted to make sure I was set up. You know, football's going to end one day. I got to hang up those cleats. I want to make sure I got a good backup plan, good education. So that those decisions, you know, led me to that.
So going over to the football side of things at Duke, of course, the story of your career has been relentless and you worked through adversity. Of course, you were injured in 2022, broke your left ankle, 2023, fractured your right. How tough was that for you and how did you work through that adversity?
Yeah, so it definitely was not something I could do on my own. I'll tell you that right now. So broke the left ankle, like you said. That was the first time I really like had to get surgery before. And I was like, okay, you know, you got to get through this. And it was smooth. I had good training staff to get me through everything. My mom flew out and came and took care of me. So all that was smooth. I came back later that year. But then when I got all the way healthy and then broke the right one immediately after, that's when I was like, okay, I don't know if this football thing is for me anymore. I'm telling you, I was literally on the verge. I was talking to the track team yesterday. I was on the verge of quitting. I was about to say, like, I called my mom and said, I think I might be done with football. Like, I was ready to hang up the cleats. And I think being away from the game, like when I was going through rehab and everything, I missed the whole season. So I'm sitting there watching from the sideline. The first game when they beat Clemson at home and everybody stormed the field, like, I never had wanted to be a part of something so bad. It just drove me every single day. I was like, I got to get better. I got to get healthy because, no, this is what I want to do. And so, you know, being away from the game made me realize how much I really appreciated it and how grateful I was to be able to play.
You know, what are your other adversities? Some athletes struggle with injuries. Some struggle a lot with mental health. What as a collegiate athlete did you all have to work through? Because that is a tough goal to reach.
I think the hardest thing is, you know, when you go from high school to college, you know, in high school, you're one of the best players on the team. Like, that's just how you get to that next level. But then when you get to that next level, everybody's the best player on their team. So you quickly realize that you are not special anymore. You go from feeling like, oh, I'm the man to, okay, I'm a freshman, you know. Like, these dudes, you have something to prove when you get on campus. So, you know, that's a real humbling experience. I think you gotta be able to take the critique, be able to take the failure, because you're going to fail a lot and you can't let that failure define you. So that was something I had to figure out. It took me a long time. It took me about 6 years to figure that out. And I'm still figuring it out now that, you know, you got to go back and look at yourself in the mirror and figure out how can I get better every single day.
So obviously your 2024 season at Duke was your big one. You had 800 receiving yards rounded up and 9 touchdowns. Of course, you know, you worked through all that adversity and you finally get the success. How, like, relieving was that for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was really just a change in my mindset. I feel like once I stopped taking things for granted, you know, started worrying about myself, how can I get better? It was really, I feel like I pat myself on the back a little bit. You know, I was proud of what I was able to do my last year, but I realized I can't relax and be complacent because, you know, once you be complacent is when you start, you know, falling off. So as good as it was, I want to keep on going forward, keep on working to get, you know, as far as I can.
As a player, how do you stay grounded? What really keeps you humble? I mean, you come here to your hometown, you meet the track team yesterday, everyone's super excited, they're posting pictures on your story. You're the guy from Pendleton Heights. How do you stay humble with all that in mind?
I mean, because it reminds me of when I was their age. I'm looking up to dudes like Kellen Dunham, Sean McDermott, you know, you name it, all those guys. That was me as a kid. I wanted to be just like them. So that's a humbling in itself. That's so humbling in itself because it's like, I just want to be an inspiration to as many people as I can. So I got to keep on working. Like, I cannot relax because then they'll see me relax. Like, no, I gotta keep going. I got to show them like hard work is going to pay off. I just love being able to give back as much as I can to, you know, my guys.
Yeah. So of course, we're a high school radio station. What's your words to those, high school athletes trying to make it up to the division level? Could be in football, could be track and field, really any sport.
Okay, first and foremost, I'm going to say whatever disbelief you have in your head, get that out your head. Like, if you believe in yourself enough and you think that, like, you know, this is something you really want to do, you love it so much, go after your goals and chase them things relentlessly because you're going to get what you want. Like, your mindset, your mind is so powerful. that it can overcome anything that your body tells you you can't do. Like, you're going to be able to achieve anything you want. You just got to really, truly believe in yourself, first and foremost. And then second of all is just go get your resources. You know, you're around. If you're in Pendleton right now, you got resources out the wazoo. You know, we got a great strength program. We got a great athletic program. Just ask as many questions, you know, be fully engaged in everything you're doing. And like I said, just don't stop believing in yourself.
On and off the field, what's your favorite like highlight you've had? Of course, like coming from your football career, maybe winning an award. I know the men's basketball Duke team had you on the court at one point to accept the award. You're the comeback player of the year for the ACC this year. I think they're offensive player of the year for Duke. What's been the biggest thing for you?
I think that Brian Piccolo award meant a lot to me. Just because like I didn't know who Brian Piccolo was until I received the award and I did my research, and like. That's such an honor. I know a lot of older people that grew up watching Brian Piccolo, they could appreciate too just what that award means. You know, someone who fought through the craziest adversity. You know, he was a relentless worker. What I did was nothing compared to what Brian Piccolo did. So just to get that award meant a lot. You know, and I think the best part about all of it is just tell my story. Just yesterday was a really good experience. Being able to tell my story to kids, like if they get hurt, they think their life, their career is over. Like if you look at me, I should have had a worse year my last year. I had two broken ankles and had my best year. It's just because my mindset was different. So, yeah, those kind of things are gonna probably be my best memories. Just talking to kids about my story.
So obviously, you finish your college career, you declare for the NFL draft. What does that look like for you? I think projected you're around six, round seven. Did you expect to be drafted? Did you expect to fall? What were the emotions like?
Yeah, I mean, to be completely upfront, like before Liz last year, I wasn't even a prospect. Like my agent, I got an agent like towards the end of my year, my senior year, and he was like, "Yeah, you're not even a draft prospect right now. So you got a lot to prove. Like they don't owe you anything." And so turning some heads with my senior season and turning some heads with my pro day, I think was really rewarding right there. Rewarding for all the hard work I put in. I just needed a chance, you know, Jaguars took a chance on me. So that's all I wanted to put in the door.
So what was that feeling with signing with the Jaguars? Walk me through that process. What are your options? Are the Jaguars the only team that come to you? What was that like?
Yeah. So, that's a whole thing. Like I had no idea what it was going to be like going through that process. It's so stressful. I'll tell you that. Like I'm watching every single day, just hoping, you know, hoping for a call. Cause leading up to the point, I'm getting calls from all types of different teams. Like
really?
Yeah. It was probably like half the teams were calling me. Just like, no, is this your draft number? Da da da. Like who all have you talked to? And I'm trying to play it cool. Like, yeah. And you got to call my agent. Cause I don't want to give him too much information. Got to, you know,
is this like NFL teams, scouts, XFL? Like what are we looking at?
Yeah, it was NFL teams. Mm-hmm. But most of the stuff that they would do was like contact my agent and then they would go over whatever they were going over. And then, leading up to draft day, you know, I had a couple meetings, a couple Zooms. I met with the Jags. They were probably the team I was talking to the most. That's who I was hoping I'd go with. So it ended up working out. But yeah, draft day was stressful.
All right. So, of course, I think you grew up a Colts fan here. Absolutely. You signed with a division rival. Are you a Jags fan now? What's that like?
Yeah, man. You got to be a Jags fan now. And it'll be super cool coming to Indianapolis and play in front of all the Colts fans. Because I remember I was a little kid watching the Colts. It was actually a funny story. So I went on the Colts local day. It was April 8th. And I got to meet Reggie Wayne and sit in his room. And we were watching my film. I'm literally teaching him about my film. That was one of the coolest experiences. Because I grew up loving him. So, yeah, it'll be fun to beat them. No offense to all the Colts fans out there.
I like the mentality. That's how you got to approach it. All right. So for a player like that, you know, obviously teetering now officially entered the league, you sign. These next month or so is going to be really tough for you. Of course, you get your foot in the door. Your goal is to make that 53-man roster. How do you approach that? Are you nervous? I could see that this is kind of make or break.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely got some nerves. You know, at the end of the day, it is just football, but I just got to make sure I'm the most, you know, coming, I'm undrafted free agent, so I got to be the most prepared, the most disciplined player of all. Like, can't make any mistakes. You know, my leash is going to be a little shorter than others, so just got to go in there and play as hard as I can. And if I leave it all out there, then I really can't be upset with the result.
Yeah, as a player, how do you deal with, you know, nerves and anxiety? Because like going into your pro day, like you said, no one owes you anything. They don't have to pick you. They don't have to sign you. But you made your name out there and you made sure a team was going to take a chance on you.
The best way to deal with nerves is to be prepared. So like for pro day, I'm telling you, we spent probably, it was probably 3 months because I got there. Yeah, it was about 3 months. I was training in Orlando doing the same thing every single day. Like we would start the day off. Like we had a routine. Like Monday, we'd start the day off doing speed and agility work, working on our 5-10-5, working on our L drill and getting our starts for the 40s. Then we go lift, whatever. Like the routine was so like consistent that when I stepped up to that line, I took a deep breath and looked down, like down the line, all the, you know, the scouts and stuff looking right there. I was not nervous one bit. I'm telling you, I was the most confident I ever been in my life. It's like, I am so ready for this. So I'm going to take that same mentality when I go to camp, you know, just make sure I'm studying the playbook. I was studying last night, calling, the, you know, texting the coach last night. Like, can we go over the formations, whatever. Make sure I know the ins and outs of them, know them like the back of my hand. Then when I step up there, I can just play football and, you know, move as fast as I can.
What's that change? Of course, I talk to a lot of high school athletes and, you know, the JV to varsity level is a big jump. Yeah. And then the JV to maybe a D3 NIA school is a big jump. You've gone from high school, JV, varsity, Duke to pros now. What's that like? Of course, yeah. You haven't played a lot of, you know, competition, but what's that like? You've experienced it firsthand.
Yeah, definitely from like high school to college is like the speed of the game. And I feel like I heard that the next level is the same thing. The speed of the game just gets a little faster. You know, people, you know, you keep on bringing down the size of the people who go into the next level. So like, you know, the best high school player is going to go to college. The best college player is going to go to the league. So, you know, the speed of the game picks up. Everybody's going to be the same athletic ability as you are. So it's really like a mental game at that point. Like, who's going to be the smartest on the field? Who's going to be able to read the coverage the fastest? Who's going to be able to get into their zone, in their window the fastest? Who's going to be able to line up the quickest, you know? And then the physicality of it picks up a little bit as well. So that's why you got to stay in the weight room. But, yeah, it's really just the knowledge of the game and being able to play fast, think fast.
All right, so what about the rule side of things? Of course, you know, college, you need 1 foot to catch the ball.
2 feet.
is that a change going into the NFL and the pros? What's that like for you?
It actually is. I didn't think it was because I was always so used to, when I was a kid, we used to go and be like, 2 feet in, 2 feet in, throw it on the sideline, try to get 2 feet in all the time. And then when I got to college, I really relaxed on that because all we need is one. That's a huge difference. I'm telling you, like, not having to get that second foot down. But so, yeah, when I was training for the, like, pro day and everything, we were working on our 2 feet again. Made me feel like I was a kid again doing that. So it was kind of cool. But, yeah, that's definitely a big change.
All right. Final question here. What gets you hype on game day?
What gets me hype? I pretty much just, like, take a deep breath and I just kind of think how grateful I am to be able to play the game. Like, I think God has blessed me, you know. He healed me. You know, I got my ankles back right. And I just think how little kid Eli would feel to watch grown up Eli, you know, take the field. Like it's really a dream come true. And that, all those feelings of like, you know, I got my family supporting me, you know, I got my brothers here to my left, to my right. It just calms me down and I just go out and have fun. I try to have so much fun. I like to dance a lot too. That's when I started dancing, then all the nerves just kind of trickle away. Cause the more you have fun with it, the more it's going to be, you remind yourself it's a game at the end of the day. So yeah. Just having fun with it.
That'll about wrap this up. Eli, you're the gold standard of an athlete here. Everyone thinks a professional level of athlete. They think of your name here. I remember my first year, you know, we broadcast our football games on our sheet. It's like our notable alumni. We play New Pal and it's all these names that you've never heard of, but they're like Ball State and these, you know, peak Division I schools. Our one for you is Eli Panko. It's great to meet you. The whole community stands behind you. You met the track team yesterday. I'm sure they were so excited. You know, figured out you were in town because I opened Instagram and it's on people's stories. And it's like, how do I get in contact with this guy?
That's awesome, man.
Thank you for joining me. We really appreciate it. And we're all rooting for you.
Hey, thank you, Zion, man. I always wanted to be on WEEM 91.7 WEM, man. I always wanted to say that, man. This is great, man. I love it. Thank you so much.
All right, that'll wrap it up. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to 91.7 WEEM.
Support for this 91.7 WEEM sports program comes from our donors and underwriters and from Couture Salon and Style. Haircuts for women, men, and children. Located at 1816 East 53rd Street, Anderson. Their phone number is 765-400-5323. Only at the Couture Salon and Style.com.
Back to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.
91.7 WEEM. We welcome you back here to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show. I'm Zion Palmieri, joined here alongside Lucas Williams. Now we're here to wrap things up. Of course, it's been a long week of sports, and we got a lot more ahead of us. So let's preview. We'll start with the boys baseball team, of course. Looking at them, I mean, having a great season so far. 11-2, coming off of a tough loss. Two in the same week. You know, one of those is tough. That's a weather game. The other one, they really grinded that out. But I think that game made them better, and they've got a long week ahead of them. Westfield on the 5th tonight. The 6th, Greenfield Central. The 7th, Greenfield Central. And then the 9th, Lebanon. So it's going to be a tough task for the boys' baseball team.
Yeah, you know, Westfield, very strong opponent. And also Greenfield Central, that's going to be a big game that you're going to be wanting to attend. Of course, these are two conference opponents, and they're going to be battling back and forth. Of course, Greenfield Central, they are 5-3 in the Hoosier Heritage. And, you know, the Arabians, they're 7-1. So, you know, to get two on them for the Arabians, they'd be tied.
Yeah, I believe the Greenfield Central Cougars have a really good pitcher committed to a prestigious college. That's what I've kind of heard around my sports staff. I'm not too sure. Of course, you know, I'm going to broadcast that game. I'll prep for it soon. But I can't really give you information right now. I've heard he's a really good pitcher. You're going to want to tune in for that game, especially, you know, a team going against Pendleton Knights. They're going to want to play him against one of their aces. So, yeah, stay tuned for that. Looking at next, we're going to talk about the softball team. Of course, they've got a few matchups ahead of them. We look at tomorrow, they're going to be at Connersville, the next one at Mount Vernon, the one after that at Greenfield Central. That's three tough road games, and after that, they're going to be at home versus New Pal. You know, it's tough to play three teams on the road, and three of the four of their next games are against sectional opponents.
Yeah, and they've had a pretty busy last week for themselves. I mean, they had four games that past week that the old head needed to worry about. So, I mean, not really much of a break to be had right there.
All right, that's going to about wrap it up for this segment. Stay tuned for more. You're listening to the Arabian Sports Network Coaches Show, 91.7 WEEM.
Thank you for tuning in to the Arabian Sports Network here on 91.7 WEEM.